The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
FlyPod.com. I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Today we have the author of her brand new book, Seriously Delish, 150 recipes for people who totally love food, Jessica Merchant. She's here. Jessica, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
You know, seriously, I can't live without food.
None of us can. We all need it.
All right. So, I guess before you started the cookbook, you started blogging,
right? Correct. It'll actually be five years ago on Saturday.
That's a long time.
It is a long time. Yeah. It's crazy how it's all transpired.
Well, tell me a little bit about the blog and how that came about. Were you one of the first people ever to blog?
Oh, my gosh. No. I mean, I feel that I started late, so I can't imagine people that starting today. It's very hard to break into it because the market is just like so saturated. But I found myself stuck in a desk job that I swore that I would never, ever have. I never wanted to sit behind a desk. I never wanted to sit behind a computer. And that's where I found myself. And I didn't have much to do. I was kind of like a glorified secretary. There was a lot promised to me and none of that was given, so delivered on. So I just sat and read the internet all day and I came across blogs and I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to try and start my own. So I did. I didn't tell anyone because I was like horrified and embarrassed for, you know, a couple weeks. And then eventually I started sharing it with my family. But I just fell in love with it. I've always loved to write my entire life. I've always loved to write. So it was natural. And I didn't intend to start a food blog, but I always loved food. I love to cook. I was like newly married. So I cooked a lot for my husband and myself. And our lives were like really boring because I sat behind this desk from 8 to 5 and my husband worked all day. So I didn't have like much to blog about lifestyle wise. And I just found myself, you know, talking more about what I made for dinner, what I made on the weekends, what dessert I made. So it's kind of how it all came about.
So 5 years ago when you got into the blogosphere, maybe it wasn't even that much of a blogosphere. Maybe it's like an expanding universe. Now you have a hard time getting on. But what were you reading back then?
I definitely think it was developed then. It was becoming oversaturated then. Today, it's extremely, everybody is trying to get into blogging because everybody wants to work for themselves. But it's definitely not easy. Back then, I read a bunch of different blogs, but I feel like I did gravitate more towards the lifestyle blogs of like maybe girls in their 20s. You know, I was in my 20s. I was newly married, things like that. That's just whether it was fashion, some was food because like, again, we all need to eat. So I'd be looking for recipes. And I think within like 3 or 4 months, I realized that like some of these bloggers were like making a business out of this and it was their career. And I mean, it makes no sense. And you know, so many people still don't understand it today, but I kind of researched like what it would take to do that. And just, you know, how are they doing it? What do you need to do? And you know, I followed some of that advice, but really I think the main thing for me was just, I like am a very all or nothing person. So I had to remain like really authentic and do what I wanted to do or else I was going to end up hating it, you know, and wanting to quit. So you can't, it's hard to start it if you're looking to like begin it as a business, but if you truly love it and have a passion for it, then I think it's easy to grow into that.
All right, Jessica, I'm going to get a little personal here with you. Is it true now that your husband just married you because you could cook and you always cooked for him?
No, definitely not. I grew up in a home where my mom cooked dinner every night. So I had 2 brothers. So I didn't do a lot of stuff in the kitchen because she enjoyed cooking and she cooked all the time. It was not my kitchen. You know, we were always, you know, busy with activities or something. So it wasn't probably until, I always enjoyed cooking, but it wasn't until like we were married and living on our own where I was like, oh my gosh, this is like my kitchen. I can do whatever I want. I can make whatever I want. I can, you know, so it wasn't until after we were married. I made him a few dishes, you know, when before we got engaged and married, but I don't think that sealed the deal.
I don't know. I think you went right out and bought the ring for that. Now, of course, you know, growing up at home, always eating home-cooked foods, once you get out of the house, once you get that car, I mean, you can do whatever you
right,
want. Right,
right.
Perhaps go to that restaurant, maybe that drive-thru that maybe mom wouldn't stop to. Now you right. can do that. Just like maybe a regular teenager lady in her 20s. I mean, people don't eat as good then as they do maybe once you're more grown up, once you've gone through that.
Right.
Is that right?
I think so. I mean, I think definitely like when I was 16 and like could finally drive, my first stop was probably like, oh my gosh, I can go through Wendy's drive-thru or, you know, something like that, that just seemed like neat that we didn't get to do all the time. But I definitely think it's like a learning process, like in your 20s, like you think it's awesome. You can eat, you know, all this junk, but then you end up feeling like garbage. So I think even though like it's tempting to do it, over time you learn like a balance of what makes you feel good and how often you can indulge and, you know, what's like finding that balance usually takes a couple years, but...
No, Jessica, we've got to talk a little bit about Seriously Delicious. When I hear that in my mind, I have this Valley Girl kind of voice going through there. Like, and I don't think I could do it, but Seriously Delicious. You know. But anyway, there's a nice picture of, oh, goodness sakes, there's some fruit on there. Looks like maybe a candied fruit, maybe a cream cheese or a whipped topping on maybe a scone or something.
It's actually just a toast with some whipped goat cheese and like some warmed berries with vanilla beans. So, yeah, it's actually in the breakfast chapter. Just I love anything and everything on toast. So sweet or savory. It's kind of a mix of both.
With the cookbook Seriously Delish, now you do have homemade dishes in here, which are a lot healthier than going out and buying stuff off the shelf.
Well, some are.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, not all of these are going to be low fat. Some of these you're not going to indulge in all the time, but the pictures make everything in here look great.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that was definitely what I wanted to accomplished with the book is just it's really our way of eating. You know, we love to indulge every now and then and eat dessert or eat burgers, but we also, you know, feel better when we eat healthier foods. So
tell me about Seriously Delish. How's this thing laid out?
It has truly every kind of recipe in it. We start with breakfast. We, you know, have lunch and soups and salads and dinner ideas and easier like weeknight ideas and a couple recipes that might take a little bit longer, but are completely worth it. A couple lightened up desserts. And when I say lightened up, I mean like not just fruit, like, you know, maybe like a cake made with whole wheat flour. So it's just slightly lightened up. Of course, it's still not the best thing you can eat, but it's just, you know, has a couple things different. And then we do have a cocktail chapter and drinks. And a final chapter, which is my favorite, called Celebrations. And it's just like totally indulgent, like 20 recipes of crazy, crazy indulgent, you know, food and peanut butter chocolate brownies, burgers, grilled cheese, things like that.
You know, talking about a cake made with whole wheat flour.
Yes.
We were experimenting with that. We bought some whole wheat flour. We wanted to be a little more healthy making that cake. Whole wheat flour is quite heavy, Jessica.
It is. It can sometimes be very grainy.
And suffice it to say, I mean, you could only eat just a small slice of this, and then you couldn't move. It was almost like cement. How do you find the balance between whole wheat flour and maybe other flours that you use?
Yeah, my favorite version is a whole wheat pastry flour to use, which is a little bit lighter and kind of takes on more of like an all-purpose flour like texture when you put it in cookies or cakes. Or what else? Well, the other thing I'll do is I'll mix like half whole wheat flour and half all-purpose flour. I do find that if you make baked goods with like 100% whole wheat flour, they can be very gritty, very dry. And of course, you know, you can add a ton of butter, add a lot of oil, which sort of defeats the purpose, I guess. It just depends on what you're going for, you know, on what your personal food beliefs are. But it's really trial and error with everything. It's not like if I use it in cookies, it's not to say that I can definitely use the same like ratio in cakes and they'll be just as good. So you really gotta, it's difficult. You gotta play around and try to find what works.
I think we took the rest of our whole wheat flour that we used after we found that out and we blew up balloons and kind of used that with paper and water and made balloon people.
Yeah, papier-mâché.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, every seriously delish dish in here, you've created yourself?
Yes. And they're all different from my blog. They're not on the blog. They're extra recipes, newer recipes.
Now, tell me about the process on that. And apparently, you might not be eating this food, but is your husband, is he like 500 pounds?
No, he's not. The recipe process was really difficult for me because with blogging, there's a very high turnover because I post a recipe almost every day. So I can post one on Monday and I have something new on Tuesday. So when I had to make these recipes for the book, it was very challenging because I had to think about what are people going to want to eat in 2 years. And I was like, you know, do people still want to eat kale in 2 years? I don't know if I want to eat kale next week. Like, I don't know. You know, I don't know what I want to eat for dinner. So that was really hard for me. And it was hard to try to be creative, you know, and think of things that am I still going to love this in 2 years? And are people still going to find it creative or is it going to be too trendy? And I probably cycled through like 300 or 400 recipes. And I mean, even towards the end, I still wanted to swap things out. And I'm never fully happy, you know, with my final work. So I still was like, oh, I had this great recipe I could throw in there. But, you know, maybe we'll save that for another book.
You know, I've never thought about this before. And you, where you wrote the book Seriously Delish, 150 recipes for people who totally love food, that you would look 2-3 years out into the future. Do most people that write cookbooks do that?
I think it totally depends on your publisher and the deal that you have with them. Most, I feel, are at least a year just because the process of writing the book and taking the photos and developing the recipes took me a full year. And then, you know, the editing process and publishing the book and getting it into a book format takes close to another year. So it just depends, I think, on, you know, who you're going with. Every deal is going to be a little different, but for most books that I'm familiar with, that's usually like the standard around there.
Jessica, when I first started reading this book, you have a little bit about yourself in here, maybe preferences and other things. And I got to thinking, and sometimes my mind wanders in different ways, that you were writing in here. I mean, it was, some of it was real, real funny.
Thank you.
And, you know, I thought, here you have this book with a picture of toast, goat cheese, you know, a sprig of peppermint and fruit. And I'm reading the book and people are thinking that there's going to be recipes in here. And pretty soon it's just a big story and they get the end and nothing's there. I think that's the kind of book you should write. I mean, I was engaged with reading everything.
Thank you. That stems from my blog, because that's really what I love to do. I do love to cook, but my number one favorite thing is writing. So, you know, my blog is very conversational. Like, I'm talking to a group of friends. It's not by any means serious or, you know, any literary work of art, but it's very, I think, relatable. And, you know, when I sit down and write my posts the night before, I don't overthink it. I literally sit down and write like I'm talking to my best friend. So when I was writing the book, it was a challenge because I felt like this is going to be a book on a shelf in a bookstore. It has to be professional. Like, people, like publishers are going to see this. I can't make up words and I can't, like, you know, say these crazy things that I say on my blog. And I tried to write it more professionally and everybody was like, what is this? Like, this doesn't sound like you at all. So when I, you know, sat down to write the book, I wrote it as if I was writing like a giant blog post or like 150 blog posts, you know? So it really was, I did want it to be me. So it was really a reflection of my blog.
Wow, if this is how your blog is, I better find out how I can get to that blog. I guess you have to have a website or something, yeah. Or what do you do?
It's howsweeteats.com.
Okay, and then I can just click on what
click
you're...
right on there, yep, and I post new recipes, and I post all kinds of stuff. I talk about TV and whatever's going on in my life.
With Seriously Delish, a brand new cookbook... I don't know your first cookbook, I believe.
Yes.
How difficult was this? What were the challenges to write a cookbook like this?
Well, one challenge we already touched upon was definitely figuring out what recipes I deemed like worthy for the book, because there is no turnover. This is a book that's going to be on a shelf. You can't make any changes. So that was definitely the hardest part. The next, you know, what else was difficult was making sure that they all worked, and did they work in different people's kitchens. And since I do write in such a conversational tone on my blog, I may not be quite as precise in recipes as some people wish that I was, or as, you know, I should be professionally. So we really did, the recipes really did need to be edited down, because you have to write them as if, so, you know, somebody that never cooks is picking up that book and can make that recipe. So, you know, that took a lot of work too. That was probably more difficult for me than writing, you know, the head note or the story that came in front of the actual recipe. But by far the most difficult part for me was the photography. I did all the photography. I do all the photography on my blog. I don't love photography. It's just part of the job. It's something that I know I had to teach myself if I wanted to be successful, and I'm not a fan of it. This is very challenging, so that was stressful.
Jessica, you know, you mentioned that you had to make sure that the recipes would work in any kitchen. I mean, anytime you want to come over and try that out, shoot, I'll show you the stove. And you know, these pictures are so great.
Thank you.
Tell me the process of this, because I figured you just had a professional photographer, but maybe you are, the way it looks.
It's very challenging. I wouldn't call myself a professional, but I do have, you know, like a high-tech camera, but that's pretty much all I have. I shoot in natural light. I don't use any kind of studio lighting or anything, mostly because I just don't love it and I'm lazy when it comes to photography. I can't imagine having to set that up, you know, in the process. So I do shoot in natural light, both on my blog and for the cookbook. So, you know, if it was raining and thunderstorming one day, my day was shot. I had to find something else to do. And, you know, I use backgrounds. Like, I go to Home Depot or Lowe's and get a couple pieces of tile and, you know, like get a bunch of different plates and, you know, just try to style the food that looks simple but pretty, but, you know, it's still relatable in a way that if you go home and make the dish, it's going to look that way. It's not overly complicated. I don't use any food styling tricks. There's a food styling trick that, you know, in the industry, if you have a bowl of cereal, a lot of time the milk is Elmer's glue. So, you know, I don't do anything like that, mostly because I just, again, don't have the patience for it. I don't love it enough to do that. So it's very real photography, I'd say, but it does take me a while to set up those shoots because I don't have quite like the stylized eye that some other photographers do.
Well, that says something too, because I know a little bit about photography with talking to other people. I mean, you've got that hot soup with the steam coming right off of it, and that thing's been sitting there for hours and hours, and it's cold, and you have to like put some smoke in there yourself. And I mean, that says something about your creative spirit, I guess, and with what you do with the book. Let's turn now to, where did you learn how to cook? I think that come from your mom, maybe your grandmother?
Both. I'm definitely self-taught and mom-taught and grandmother-taught. But my mom and my grandmothers were not so adventurous in the kitchen. My mom is an excellent cook, and my grandma was a great cook too. But my mom makes a lot of the same dishes over and over. They're wonderful, but she doesn't stray too far from her favorite classics. She loves food probably just as much as I do, but she wants to keep it, you know, her classic favorites. Whereas I am always looking for the next best thing, the newest, the most delicious. What can I pile on this burger and make it crazy? You know, what kind of taco can I make today? So it really, I think my way of cooking stems from some boredom because I always want something new. You know, I'm a product of this awful internet generation and I want that instantaneous, you know, like delivery. So I think it's just, I always want to, you know, try something cool and crazy, and some things turn out terrible and disgusting, but luckily most things turn out pretty great.
So do you think that maybe they did that, you know, they didn't stray too far with what they did because they just didn't know what else was out there like maybe we do today? I mean, we have the internet, we have a lot more restaurants than what they had probably in the 70s, 60s, 50s.
I think that's definitely part of it, especially when it came to like my grandparents and what they would eat. But like on my own parents' part, I think that they just really love what they love and they don't have this crazy, you know, brain that makes them like they're not used to this instantaneous response that, you know, I've grown up with since I was like 14 and we installed AOL on our desktop computer. And like, you know, it's just always having something new right there at your fingertips. So I guess maybe I've taken that way of living that can sometimes be like so terrible and turned it around into food.
All right, Jessica, you know, you've talked me into trying some of this stuff. I'm coming over to eat. What are we going to have maybe for a lunch?
Okay, so I'm pretty bad when it comes to favorites because they definitely change with the season. But my absolute favorite recipe in the book that can work for lunch or dinner is these homemade chicken pitas with, you make like a tzatziki and a hummus. And you just warm the pitas up and you marinate the chicken. You can marinate it overnight. It's like a wonderful like Greek style, like dill, olive oil, lemon. And it just has so much flavor. And the combination of the hummus and the tzatziki and some tomatoes and lettuce, it's delicious. And it's something that I make at least twice a month, which is huge because I cook something different every day. And, you know, it's been hard to keep that favorite recipe secret off the blog. So that's probably what I would cook first for lunch.
All right. So this hummus, you made it yourself. We just made some homemade hummus ourselves maybe 2 weeks ago.
I love homemade hummus. The recipe that I have in the book is more of like a white bean dip that I do with roasted garlic. And I don't know, it just depends. Sometimes I like the white bean dip better because it's a little bit creamier. The beans are a little bit softer and it just has a slightly different flavor. I don't use tahini in that dip, but I mean, I'm a hummus freak anyway. So, you know, I'll eat any kind of hummus, but
we made ours. You're supposed to maybe make it with maybe an olive oil,
yes,
a lighter oil. We used coconut oil, which was probably a mistake since we put it in the refrigerator. And
it's solidified.
Yes, yes. It's like a rock.
Coconut oil is great for some things, but
but probably not hummus. Yeah. Now, how long could I leave that? I mean, we had to take it out. It had to soften up and it had to go back in the refrigerator.
Yeah, that's challenging. I mean, I get that question a lot with recipes on my blog. I think that like, technically, things like that and leftovers are probably only good for 3 or 4 days. But I mean, I live like my husband will eat things like 6 days later. He never wants to get rid of anything. So he's like, this is totally fine. I'm eating it. I'll be fine. He always is. So
after 7 days, I'm still alive. Right, so that says something.
Right.
All right. Now, something else I just love, and I know that you have at least a couple recipes in here for smoothies.
Yeah, I
How easy are those?
Super simple. I have a banana macaroon smoothie in there, which use frozen bananas. So it's kind of takes on like a milkshakey ice cream texture. And then I have a green smoothie in there because I know they're all the rage right now, but I don't really love vegetables. So it's an easy way to get them in. You throw some spinach in your shake along with, I use again, frozen bananas, some mango, some vanilla extract. You can't even taste the spinach. It's bright green, but you can't taste it.
You know, with maybe a smoothie I make, and I know that you have a base here also with coconut milk in yours.
Yes.
Really brings out the flavor of that and the sweetness, I think. Yes.
Coconut milk is probably my favorite milk to use. I love it. I love it in soups. I love it in, you know, milkshakes and regular in like a healthier smoothie. I love cooking with it. It's probably one of my favorite ingredients.
And it's kind of funny also because within the last few years, the health benefits of coconut oil have just exploded.
Taken off. Yeah. Absolutely.
So what kind of things would you maybe not use coconut oil in besides maybe hummus?
I really tend to not use it again in something that like it will solidify and you don't want it to solidify. So I don't really use it in salad dressings. You know, if I'm going to make a big batch of salad dressing, put it in the fridge for the week, I don't want to use that because it's going to solidify in the fridge. And I know that sometimes olive oil can get a little bit maybe solid if it gets super cold, but nothing like, I mean, in Pennsylvania, and you know, it's going to solidify at room temperature. Now, I was in Texas last week and they're like, our coconut oil never solidifies. So it depends on where you live, but
even in the refrigerator it doesn't. Right, it's so right. Hot in Texas. Seriously Delish, of course, your brand new book. Have you ever thought about writing maybe just a book?
Yes, I mean, that's actually what I want to do. Thank you so much. My dream goal is to write fiction. I want to write novels. I've wanted to do that since I was like 7 years old, so that's hopefully next on the list.
Cool. Do you have anything started yet or anything?
I've started millions of things, you know, over the last couple years, but definitely has proven to be a challenge with like running the blog as the business and doing the book the last couple years. So hopefully once this all calms down, I'll get a better run with it.
All right. Now, I know I can go to your blog site to find out more about you and maybe the recipes. But do you have a website for Seriously Delish?
I do not, but I have, there's a spot on my website on howsweeteats.com where you can click onto the cookbook menu at the top. You can order the book. It tells you a little bit about the recipes and, you know, some more about what the book is and has some photos on there to give you a little preview.
All right. Now, again, that blog is
howsweeteats.com.
All right. And, goodness sakes, I mean, you get this book, don't look at it hungry, I guess. There should be a warning label on here, I think. Jessica, of course, took all the pictures in this book, and they look great. The recipes in here, I mean, once you see the pictures, the recipes are pretty much spelled out the way that you should do them, easy.
Yeah, nothing's too difficult. There's a couple recipes in there that may take over an hour, but they're, you know, like a roasted chicken, but they're worth it. Everything else I feel like can be made on a weeknight when you're exhausted and really just want to order pizza.
Yeah, I mean, that chicken should take that long because if it doesn't, you'll get salmonella or something, right? So Jessica's keeping you healthy, keeping you safe with the recipes and Seriously Delish. Hey, seriously, check them out. The recipes are fantastic. Jessica, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cover to Cover. I'm Mark DeWitt. We've been talking with the author of Seriously Delish. Check out our blog also, Jessica Merchant.
To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.